PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Oh, do you know who I was talking to? Guess.
Your shrink?
That's very funny. No, Jerry Langford. That's right, the Jerry Langford. He gave me the go-ahead, Rita, would you believe it? And you know what? Don't tell anyone yet, but you're looking at the new king of comedy. Why not me? Why not? A guy can get anything he wants as long as he pays the price. What's so funny about that? I mean, crazier things have happened. You don't understand what a shot on Langford means. That's coast-to-coast national TV, a bigger audience than the greatest comedians used to play to in a whole lifetime. A shot at a free ticket on the comedy circuit, a comedy show of my own, the Rupert Pupkin Show, everything. And all that leads in one direction, Rita. Hollywood. A beach house in Malibu, right on the ocean, and we'll keep a suite at the Sherry. Everybody stays there when they make it big, way up top so we can look down at everybody and yell, hey, tough luck, suckers, better luck next time. Come on, what do you say?
It sounds wonderful, Rupert. I wish you the best of luck, you know, but it's getting late and I'm a working girl. I gotta go home.
I don't get you. Here I am offering you a way out. Rita, every king needs a queen. I want you to be mine.
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
You are not properly sedated, call 348-844 immediately. Failure to do so may result in prosecution for criminal drug evasion.
For more enjoyment and greater efficiency, consumption is being standardized. We are sorry.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to episode 273 of Cinema Crespediso. It is an April Fool's episode. What does that mean? It means nothing. It's all everyday nonsense. We're fools no matter what. Right, Drew?
Jesus is risen, Chris.
April Fool's, Houston Cogburn.
April Fool's, Jesus is risen.
Only the 12th person I've seen say to make that joke, but it's fine. How often does Easter land on April? Yeah, you got it.
It doesn't happen that often, so when it does happen, you've got it. I mean, I've got to be like everybody else.
You got to run with it.
Yeah.
May the 4th be with you, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that
Friday the 13th jokes, you know, things like that. You got it. Guys, here's your Easter threat update. Current threat level is honeydew. Gather your promises for disposal.
Okay.
Appropriately bestowed.
Roger, that will do.
I'm liking it. Where he said Drusa Cogburn is here. Welcome, Drusa Cogburn. We appreciate it. That's enough. With us, first time guest, stand up comedian. I saw him about a month ago at a spotlight at the Copper Rockets. To be honest, I went and saw some PFT folk. I saw Leslie Joe, Brian Holmes, Tim Murphy. I always mix up Charlie Dewey and Tim Murphy. I always mix them up. Charlie Dewey.
And turn him into Charlie Murphy.
But then I saw this dude there, and I thought this guy's hysterical. I want him on the show. Made me laugh. Ladies and gentlemen, Fritz Pierre is here. Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
how you doing?
Doing fantastic.
Appreciate you for coming over, Fritz.
Yeah. Made it right on time.
Exactly on time.
Exactly on time.
Not late whatsoever.
Nope.
No black stereotypes there.
No.
Nope. Not at all.
Hey, don't. Puerto Rican here, you know, call it CP time, right? That's what right. That's one way to put it.
Yeah.
I can get with a good CP time joke. Puerto Rican time. Shout out to all my cousins in New York. Late for everything.
Puerto Ricans.
Late for everything. I got one of those. Thanks for reminding me. All right. To Drew's chagrin. Sorry, Whitey. We got to break out the air horns every now and then when we're talking.
It's just so campy, Chris.
Yeah, it is. It's great. Fritz, thank you for joining us. We are here to talk about a bunch of movies and stuff and hang out and crack some jokes, have a good time. We got yourself an OBP. I got an OBP squared. Cheers to you, sir.
Cheers.
I got a coffee.
And Drew's got a coffee. Cheers, Drew.
All right. Cheers.
Coffee drink.
Stay woke.
High brew. Mexican vanilla. from Austin, Texas, USA.
Mexican vanilla, yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds good. Mm-hmm. How much sugar is in that thing? Read that label
a
for
lot.
Me. Yeah. Dissuade me from drinking it.
14 grams.
How many servings per can?
Yeah.
8 ounces.
How many ounces in the can?
One. It's 8 ounces in the can.
So 14 grams?
14 grams and 8 ounces.
You know, that's not bad.
That's a reasonable amount.
That's,
yeah.
That is reasonable. That's about a same as a serving of coconut water. I'm all about that coconut water.
Anyway. Yeah.
Welcome to Chris and Drew Talk About Beverages with Guests. What are your some of your favorite beverages?
Oh, lately I've been really getting into this. Have you guys heard about this Bud Light?
I've heard of Bud Light.
Real good, nice watery taste. But
goes down easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've actually been having this this beer called Taurus Trap recently. The local watering hole called the Bull and Bush has it.
Taurus Trap, isn't that out of Miami, MIA Brewing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I've had that one. It's good.
10% beer.
So that
10% alcohol content.
Well, that's like I'm drinking OPP squared, 11% for the can.
You're almost drinking wine there, buddy.
Pretty much. That's why I've been drinking it over the course of the last 45 minutes. Because I got a little bit of trap into
it. I like it to get straight to the point. I don't like to do shots.
It gets you there. You don't like shots?
That's straight to the point.
I'm fine with tequila shots.
I like a whiskey shot.
Whiskey shots are okay, but I feel like that gives you more of that back of the mouth linger.
Yeah.
That gets you over time.
I can't do Jameson.
What about the weird fruity shots, Chris?
Jameson stuff. What?
You like the weird fruity shots?
No. The fruitier, the sweeter, the worse.
So much sugar.
Buttery nipples and things like that. Lemon.
SoCo.
Lemon. Yeah. No. Just give me something boozy. The clearer, the better.
It should hurt.
You should know that you just had something that you shouldn't have.
just start drinking grain alcohol.
I've done the moonshine and legit moonshine. Like someone just handed me a mason jar. It's like, this is a blueberry. I'm like, all right, it's clear. But if you say so, and then I drink it. I'm like, I taste the blueberry behind the burn and in front of the burn and around the burn. It's a lot of burn. It's so much.
Big Tim always has some moonshine on him. He brought some to the comedy fest.
Oh yeah,
and a comic took the biggest swig out of it, and I saw his whole life change.
Yes,
and sure. That moment
from that point forward, a different person.
And yeah, for sure.
I mean, you might as well be drinking gasoline.
It is like the flames coming out like a dragon. Well, I think that was a great episode of Chris and Drew Talk About Beverages with Guests. Thank you, Fritz, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now let's cut back to Cinema Crespedito. We're gonna do that with our first segment of the week, which is this one.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Crespedito streaming.
We do this every week, guys. You know how it goes. First-time guests, first-time listeners, in case you don't. What we do is there's so many movies on the Amazon and the Netflix and the Hulus, and you just, I do this. I did this the other night. Sat there for an hour just trying to pick something so stupid. What a waste of time. So we're trying to help you out at least once. Here is your streaming pick of the week. Fritz, take it away.
Good Time on Amazon Prime.
We were talking about this yesterday.
This is a perpetual pick of the week, actually. I just saw that it was on Amazon Prime, and I put out there on the social media, people should watch this shit. And now it's official, Drew. Now it's an official pick of the week.
What is this movie?
All right, Fritz, this movie, like you said, on Amazon Prime, like it says on the card there, it stars Twilight's own Robert Pattinson.
Ooh.
And it's him. He plays a... I think it's an older brother to this big lunkhead who's a bit of he's slow and he's got like auditory problems, so it's a medical thing that leads to developmental issues. So the movie starts with him like doing some therapy, like state, it seems like state funded type stuff, right, Drew? But like the brother's trying to go through therapy, he's trying to connect on a social level, and then Rob Pattinson, the brother, busts in. He's like, no man, fuck this shit, I need you, and he takes him. Mm-hmm. And he forces them to help him in a bank robbery. And then the bank robbery goes wrong.
So very wrong.
And then the dumb brother gets arrested and sent to Rikers because it takes place in New York City. And then he like immediately gets beat up. And Rob Pattinson, his character, it's all about him over the course of one night trying to get together the money to bail his brother out. Mm. And it is him like running around
doing crazy shit,
talking to like the worst people, like interacting with like the scum of the earth, because he is part of that. That's his crew.
This is his thing of trying to break away from the whole Twilight thing.
He's been doing this for a while. I think this is actually the culmination of a bunch of different roles that he's done. That's been trying to get away from Edward Cullen, the vampire.
He's trying to go for the critical acclaim, Oscar kind of thing.
Trying to get people to notice him, and it is kind of a showy role for him. But he's also like, we talked about this in the show before. before. There's an Australian film called The Rover with Guy Pearce.
Rover's so great.
And it's almost like he plays the brother version in that movie. Where the Rover, he's a slower simpleton in The Rover. Yeah. And he's kind of like a sad, pathetic character who's being dragged along. And you're like, oh, man, like, I kind of feel for this dude. He's good in it. He's really good. And then this one's like the opposite, where it's like, yeah, he's proving that he's got the chops as a good actor, that he's better than just glittery skin.
Taking my shirt off, I got six-pack abs.
This is the look of a man. Was it? This is the skin of a killer. And here's his shirt off, and he's all sparkly.
I don't know. I have not seen
it. I've never seen that movie. You've really outed yourself with that one.
No, first off,
we've been making fun of this movie.
I've got the script right here. It says it here.
Billy Dee. That's actually just me quoting Billy Dee, making fun of it. I have seen, though, on FX, they play it often. The last one, Breaking Dawn Part 2, and I've seen the final battle scene, like maybe.
I think keeps popping up.
It keeps popping
and it's
up.
Always the final battle scene that I catch it at.
Which is perfect. That's all you need to see.
They're facing off. They're looking at each other. It's like, I'm like, I don't care.
It's so funny. They're both two groups of vampires that are about to fight off, but they're on a big snow field.
Yeah, so it's white on white on lots of white.
A lot of white on white. It's white on white crime. Dude, it's
got to fix that white on white crime.
Dude, it's a problem. 97% of crimes is white on white crime. At least in this instance it is. And they're like standing hundreds of yards away from each other across the field, but they're talking to each other like this because they're vampires and they can hear each other.
There's no way they can hear each other.
But
like
they're
that.
Vampires, yes they can. And then it turns into a ridiculous battle where they start like gripping each other's heads off, and because there's no blood and they're like monsters or vampires and stuff, it's still got a PG-13 rating.
But it's
insanely violent and everyone's dying, and then the way they get away with it is that it turns out to be like a whole... This is like one character inside the mind of another one, showing him what would happen. So he's like, yo, we're not going to fight because we'll all just die. But
but that's the point of fighting.
That is the point of fighting. People died. It's the last man standing. That's the whole point. I saw Gangs of New York.
We're going to get hurt.
We're going to get hurt.
So let's not fight.
Let's not do it. No, he saw that they were all going to get hurt. And most importantly, he was going to die. So he's like, God damn it, I don't want to die. So actually, I would recommend Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, the second half of the movie.
Part 2.
Hot Shots Part Breaking Dawn.
Part 2.
Part 2. That is correct.
Rest in peace, Taylor Lautner.
And oh man.
I've seen a photo of that guy now. Oh boy.
Really?
He's just probably like just pounded the beer, just living off the royalties off that money. Why shouldn't he?
Why not? Seriously, he could never work again a day in his life and probably still die a millionaire.
Probably.
And bang all the chicks.
For a while until he gets to a certain age, and then it gets sad. What are you doing? Now you're pulling a Corey Feldman. Who just got stabbed. You hear about how he got stabbed with the world's tiniest knife?
Sweet.
Apparently. Looking at the wound, it was like a really... But because he's talking about the whole pedophilia ring in Hollywood. He's been talking about it for years.
Yeah.
And he's getting more and more traction lately.
With a pedophilia-sized knife?
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
He got stabbed by a baby dick.
He got stabbed by a baby dick knife. But he said him and his bodyguards, they got ambushed by like three people. And while his bodyguards were like fighting off two people, a third one snuck up on him and stabbed him, and he was like in the hospital and everything, and he put out tweets about it, and he thinks it's like the Hollywood quote Illuminati type people who are behind the whole pedo ring.
I'm pretty sure if the Hollywood Illuminati were trying to kill Corey Feldman, he would have been dead already.
They would have done a better job. But then how come
Ryzen,
right? But no, he got openly jumped by three people. I mean, it happened.
I mean, all he's gonna do is just talk to Tom Cruise and the Scientologists. I'm sure he's got great connections for people in wet works.
Yo, Tom Cruise just wants to be the world's greatest movie star. That's all. Leave Tom Cruise out.
He's flying. Chris is flying goddamn stunt helicopters now. So he is.
He is. He's a god amongst men.
He is. I'm fine with whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
If he wants to run for president, I'm going to vote for him. Because you know what? When the world goes to shit and he jumps in a helicopter to fly it, I'm going to be like, this guy knows what he's doing. I'm going to get behind him.
Yeah. This guy is going to fly the nukes to North Korea.
Yes, he's going to handle shit. I'm going to be with him. That's the safest place is 2 feet behind Tom Cruise at any time.
When Tom Cruise gets old, I want him to remake Air Force One.
Oh, that'd be fun. Oh,
that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, gets old. He's in his 50s.
No, he has to look visibly old.
Makeup. We can throw some makeup on. No. Yeah, he's starting. He's finally starting to look a little older.
Yeah, like, the Mission Impossible things are starting to look a little... bit more implausible.
They are. Yeah, exactly. For a while, he looks so baby-faced.
It's starting to thin up here. It's not going bald, but it's starting to thin.
It's just thin. It's
do you think
thinner.
He could grow a beard? Because I think he could go for the grizzled like Logan
I don't think he can grow a beard.
He's never
because
grown a beard.
You want to know why? Because if he could grow a bitchin' beard, he would have already.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like
sure.
Christian Bale style. Like, Christian Bale grows insane. He's like part grizzly bear. Because the facial hair he grows is stupid sometimes. Like, the Hostiles movie.
If he could, he would have already.
Yeah. Pattinson has like a really scraggly look in Good Time that like really plays into the character, because he grows some facial hair, but it's like
it's patchy on the
it's
sides.
Really patchy and fucked up
all over the place. It's not manicured.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't put gel in it or anything.
And he his hair's kind of long, but then bleach blonde. But obviously, so but you can see the roots coming in.
He bleaches it during the movie, Chris.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's so funny.
he does that scene?
There's a bleaching
the
scene.
Movie.
Yeah, during the overnight sequence. Oh man, and that scene gets so. Crazy. Like, what is he doing? It's a good movie, man. Good Time is a good movie. Definitely check it out.
I've heard it's like critically acclaimed.
People really liked it. Yeah. And when it came to like award stuff towards the end of the year, people were kind of surprised it didn't get more traction for any sort of even being in a discussion. I thought it was a bummer. I mean, it's probably top five movie for me last year.
Really?
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
92% on Rotten Tomatoes.
God, I am. What's
that?
Those
are
rating?
Good numbers.
7.6 out of 10.
7.6. I'd go like 8 out of 10 for that one. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's an energy bomb of a movie. Like when it goes off, it's just like,
it just goes. It's just rolling every scene.
Yes, and so much momentum, and the music is like just building, and it's super intense. A lot of neon.
I like those movies. I was watching a little bit of Goodfellas the other day.
Yes,
and I was taking notice about how all the scenes are kind of not one scene is that long,
right?
Which gives it that feeling of like you're just in this ride,
and there's so much you're being hit with so much information, and the movie just keeps turning and turning that you don't notice that it's like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, that's his talent, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Good Time has the benefit of they kept it short. It's like a 90-minute movie, roughly.
Yeah,
and but within that 90 minutes, it does modulate. It starts out with a bang, and then it goes up, and then it kind of dies down for a little bit, so you can sort of catch your breath. The characters catch your breath, and then it builds up towards the end. Boom, 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 and it's like shit. Also, towards the end, the dude from Look It's Me. I'm the captain now. Captain Phillips.
Yeah, no one.
Captain Phillips. Bark.
Yeah.
Bark. Bark.
He's got the weird face.
Yeah.
Like his face been eaten a little bit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It.
The Somalian dude. Yeah. Like legit Somalian that they got for Captain Phillips. I mean, he's Somalian. Is he American? Somalian-American?
Does that guy get his teeth fixed?
I don't think so.
Or does that fuck up his brand?
I think he's left it that way. Because he was just in Blade Runner 2049. He's in one scene
still
in there.
Still had the messed up teeth.
So has the messed up teeth.
So you can't get veneers, get the Hollywood.
Maybe
all
he doesn't.
Teeth are
maybe
even,
he just wants to keep it real. Maybe he's like, this is me. This is who I am. Why am I gonna fake it? Or maybe it's like, I'm socking away that money because I don't know how long I can ride this ride for.
I don't give a fuck about my teeth.
Yeah, I'll fix that shit later when I know I have the budget for it.
You know what? I thought Precious was just done with that one movie, but Gabby Sidibe is still rocking it.
She's still out there. She was in
Power,
the Tower Heist.
Empire.
Yeah, she's been on TV now, right? But she did that Tower Heist movie with Ben Stiller and Eddie Murphy.
That movie came and went.
It did, because Eddie Murphy was great and everything else around him was like... it should have been a lot better. Tower Heist, that movie, was originally conceived as the Black Ocean's 11. It was supposed to be like Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock. Like all at that time, this was like 2005, 2006, like the hottest in black comics and actors.
Yeah.
And then they were going to do their own heist movie. And the producers got into it and just changed hands. The different people got into it. And then like every character got flipped except for the Eddie Murphy character.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I would have loved to see that black heist movie.
It would have been great.
Except in that one, they definitely would have got caught.
Yeah, they would. Because they would have been suspicious right away. As soon as a black person walks into like somewhere, there's like a lot of them.
Wait a minute.
I need to get see over, your credentials.
Get over here.
The guy's like, I'm the host. I'm supposed to be here.
No, you're not.
Let me violate your civil liberties real quick.
You got to use their racism against them. Yeah. We'll see how the women do in Ocean's 8 if they can get over the misogyny of... It's funny how in Ocean's 8 they're knocking over... they're stealing jewels from the Met Gala.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, That's very lady. That's fun. Like, we found a way to rob something that still appeals to the women.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. They're
stealing jewelry from Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, and it's Anne Hathaway, too. I think that's going to be fun. She's going to play up her... Because for some reason, a lot of people don't like Anne Hathaway. Like,
I've never got that
Neither
before.
Do I. I've always liked her, but there's in some circles, some people find her kind of insufferable, I guess. I don't know.
She's an actress. What are you talking about?
Exactly. People? All right, look. People listening, tweet us, at Crespediso. If you like Anne Hathaway... and tweet us hashtag Anne Hatha come here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like Anne Hathaway, hashtag Anne Hatha go away.
Sounds solid.
There you go. That's how we'll take it. That's how we vote. You got it, Drew?
That was
Type those hashtags.
Just type that hashtag out.
That was a stretch, Chris.
But we got to make sure people know what we're talking about. So there we go.
Yeah.
So Drew, get on that one.
All over it.
Excellent. Thank you. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Gabordi. How do you even say her name?
Gabby Sidibe.
You shortened the first one. Gabby.
Gabby?
Her whole first name is Gabordin or something.
No, that's not happening.
Gabby. Gabby Sidibe.
There's an actress. This is a sidebar. There's an actress. Her name is Niger or something. N-I-G-E-R.
Really?
Yeah. And the way it's pronounced, it looks like it says nigga.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like an acclaimed actress. I don't know her full name.
Is she, acclaimed... Where? In India or here in America?
Here in America, yeah.
Really? I've never heard of this lady, yeah. Drew?
No.
Oh, man. Hey, sometimes you're born with the names you got, and you got to work with it and hope people be cool about it. Drew.
Chris.
Do you have the box office numbers there?
I do.
Roll down. Let's talk about some money. Stupid. That's right. We're doing the box office top five. Enough of that here, Drew. Where are we starting our top five?
Number five, Pacific Rim Uprising. Made an additional $9 million, total of 45.
Ooh, okay, that's all right. Can I get an international number on that? That's where about...
It's a big box office movie, supposed to be.
It's supposed to be. This one costs about $150 million to make, so it wants to make at least $300 worldwide to break even.
186 foreign.
186 foreign, so we're about 250 then.
231.
It's going to...
Okay.
It'll make some money overall. When it's all said and done, it'll make a little bit of money. It's not going to be like a world beater.
Sure they're going to keep going with that series, though, after this.
Have you seen the second one?
I have not.
It ends with like a like, this is what we're going to do with the third movie. You know, like it closes whatever story it has for the second one. It's self-contained in its own way. But then it's like one of the last lines of dialogue is like, might as well be like, and now in the third movie.
But we'll be ready when they come again.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
I definitely want to make more, but I like the first one a lot.
Yeah,
the second one was what it is. I don't know if I even want to see a third one, Drew.
It's kind of like an Independence Day where they had the one actor and then he quits, and then it's like, oh, my son.
Yeah, exactly. Taking the mantle. And it passes along. I wanted Independence Day Resurgence to be so good. I was rooting for that movie to be good. What a bummer of a movie.
I see now why Will Smith didn't want to be involved with it, for sure.
You know what he did? He priced himself out. He told him he would do it for $50 million and they wouldn't meet his price tag.
So oh, yeah?
He would have been in it for $50 million. Because he knows that's an insane amount of money. The only person to get $50 million for a movie is Robert Downey Jr. He got that for Iron Man 3.
I mean, he kicked off the MCU, so give it to him.
Exactly. He's arguably the most popular character and actor. He's in all the highest... Well, now he's not in Black Panther, but I don't know where that fits in the top three. But he's in like the top three highest grossing Marvel movies.
Yeah.
I think Black Panther might be number four.
I think it's number three.
Number three? Avengers.
I think it got there.
I think so.
Avengers, Age of Ultron, and then Black Panther.
Yeah.
And then we're with Civil War, and then Civil War would be four. Because that's like an Avengers 2.5 type of thing. Might as well be. Man, that's awesome. That's crazy that Black Panther's making so much money.
No, it's number one.
What, Black Panther's number one now?
650.
Holy shit, really?
For North American. For sure. For North American, it's made more than most movies.
But all of them.
Well,
making over $600 million in just like our box office. North Americans, us in Canada, and I think it includes Mexico as well. In those numbers. That's like... How many movies made that much? Like half a dozen?
It's number five all-time domestic.
See, goddamn!
That's a blockbuster. And the guy that directed it,
Ryan Coogler,
was 31 years old.
He's only 31? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's like...
He's got it.
I tweeted this when I rewatched some Creed scenes recently.
That was really good.
I saw Creed twice in theaters. And both times, people were like cheering during the fight at the end. Were really into it. Rewatching it at home, it's like this guy just the cinematic language, he has such a hold of it. He is like next level, the next Spielberg in terms of if he continues this way with mainstream filmmaking and like the way he melds all his skills together with the storytelling. Like he has it. He has all the potential.
His track record is great. Fruitvale Station, amazing, Creed, amazing. Now Black Panther.
I've seen all three in theaters. All three have like visceral reactions in the crowd from people. Fruitvale Station, I walked out of a theater of sobbing white people with intellectual guilt. It was amazing. And then Creed people were cheering. Black Panther people were cheering. They were so into it. What are you looking at, Drew?
Yeah. If Black Panther makes $10 million next week...
Yeah, which it probably can.
It'll be number three. It'll be Titanic.
Oh, for domestic?
For domestic.
It'll be Titanic?
For domestic.
For domestic North American box office.
Yeah, $659.
So we're looking at what? Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Avatar. And then it would be Black Panther.
What do you think the newest Avengers is going to do?
That's the thing.
Gangbusters, right?
Based on like ticket pre-sales, it almost seems like the sky's the limit. It could be 200 north of, definitely north of 200 opening weekend.
Yeah.
Could it get to like 250? That would be the record for opening weekend. Star Wars Force Awakens at like 248.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers Infinity War, that has the potential. I mean, we bought our tickets for the first showing on Thursday night, like the day they were on sale, which was like a week ago. And that theater was already like 2/3 full.
Right.
Already. Fandango said the first, it broke the record for comic book movies, for superhero movies. It broke the record for pre-sale tickets in the first 24 hours, which was set by Black Panther. And it broke Black Panther's very short record by in a matter of 6 hours, which is crazy. It sold the same amount of tickets in a fourth of the time.
I'm predicting it's going to be like best all time
for money wise.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Could it? But
it's got.
You mean total?
They threw everything at the wall. Every A-list actor. But then, I wonder what that budget must be.
But then there's going to be a second movie too. They filmed two movies, and this next one's coming out next summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is Avengers 4, which is untitled. They don't want to put the title out yet because somehow it's a spoiler for the third one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so after the third one comes out, they'll announce whatever. Maybe at the end of Avengers Infinity War.
I'm just interested in what they're going to do now. It feels like we're reaching an end of this story, this universe they've created.
Yeah, well, it's the end of what they're calling Phase 3.
Yeah.
And then Phase 4 is going to be like Captain Marvel, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Black Panther, obviously.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they try to center as much of it around Black Panther as possible.
True.
Just because now it's like they're like
Spider-Man as well.
Spider-Man, yes. So they can keep working with Sony on Spider-Man. They gotta be so happy that Black Panther kicked off that way. Because, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is gonna be done after this. Chris Evans is gonna be done. Hemsworth is gonna be done. Because literally their contracts are up.
Mm-hmm.
They're running out of those deals. And then they're signing new deals with people. They'll try to center a lot probably around Brie Larson as Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's gonna make her debut in Avengers. And that's gonna set up her movie, which comes out next year. Ant-Man and the Wasp and Captain Marvel both come out between Avengers movies.
I guess I'd have to see those because that doesn't have the same epicness as Iron Man and Hulk.
They don't. It seems
like downsizing almost.
Yeah, exactly. They're like tertiary characters, but they're proving that with characters that aren't as popular, they can still blow them up and make them huge. People forget now that Iron Man, when the first Iron Man movie came out, he was a B-level character. Yeah, he was never that big of a character.
Never, not in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, and then the fact that movie blew up, they're like, you know what, maybe we can do this whole shared universe thing, and we can center on this oddly successful film. They just like struck gold, and they were lucky that they knew how to mine that properly. It's wild.
What are the odds that the Defenders make an appearance in like maybe a?
I think it's like zilch.
End of scene kind of thing. What the hell just happened?
That'd be that funny. Kind of at the thing. End of the credits, like how? Yeah. Well, should we have helped? Like, nah.
That's out of our league.
We'd be dead too.
Yep.
It's funny how they were supposed to connect all these things, the TV universe, the Netflix stuff, and they really don't, besides for referencing events or saying, like, the big green guy or something like that.
Never,
it's, they
doesn't
really
Captain America over. Doll some kid has.
Right, exactly. Agent Coulson's the only one who ended up going to TV, and then he's stuck in TV, except for Captain Marvel. He'll be in Captain Marvel, because that movie takes place in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So technically, he's still working with S.H.I.E.L.D. in that capacity.
It always trips me out to think like, oh, Daredevil is in this same universe as a talking raccoon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
They share the same space pretty much.
They could conceivably be in the same. Well, it's like how
they could interact one day.
It's like how in the 90s the TV shows Martin and Home Improvement, which are both on at the same time. One's about a radio show DJ and one's about a TV show host. Both took place in Detroit.
Yeah.
Shared universe. Martin and Home Improvement taking place same place, same time. Tim the Tool Man Taylor could have been listening to WZUP on the way to... What's up? Martin could go home to his apartment and like, man, I'm gonna put on Tool Time. And like, it's like, the thing on the couch. It's like, exactly.
There I saw a compilation of just him making those sound effects. I watched it maybe 5 times.
How long does it take? Yeah. Like an hour to go through? I mean,
Several seasons of that show. It's like, that guy is very expressive.
With just his...
Just with grunting?
Sure. It's pretty... I saw a similar one. For John Hamm in Mad Men, all the different ways he says what? It's like what? Yeah, it's good stuff. Joseph Godwin, number 4.
I can only imagine.
What?
Made $10.75 million.
Total of 55.
That Christian exploitation, it's Easter weekend. That makes sense. Hey, where did that Paul movie come out on the top 10?
Number 10.
How much did that make?
3.5.
3.5 million?
Mm-hmm.
Really? On Easter weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. See, that's why you make the... That's why you gotta make movies for Christians, too. Where's our Islam exploitation films?
Islam exploitation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, these are Christian exploitation, where it's like these are movies made for Christian audiences. Where are movies made for Muslim audiences?
There are rules about.
I want a Muhammad superhero movie.
It's not gonna happen.
Well, I just want an awesome depiction of Muhammad in a movie. What's wrong with that?
There are rules.
Is there a problem with that?
Yes, there is.
Is there? I don't understand what that.
Uh-huh. Are they offended by that? Is that
very much so? Actually,
is that a thing?
Number 3 this week. Black Panther made $11.26 million, total of $650.
Yeah, I can definitely... It's definitely going to pass Titanic. Sorry, Titanic. You don't deserve to be up there anyway.
Still haven't seen it.
Oh, see, that's
still
why.
Still haven't seen Black Panther.
Go see it, man.
It's really good.
Go see it.
It's really good.
Especially if you like the Marvel movies, it's worth it.
I love the Marvel movies. It's gotten to the point you don't see a movie for so long, you kind of just know what the plot is.
Oh, sure.
What happens. It's still a great experience, I'm sure.
Yeah. I would definitely recommend, while it's still in theaters... see it on like a big screen with a good sound system and
it's
all that.
It's
worth it, because you may get to a point where, like, I've seen this happen a lot with Blade Runner 2049.
No.
People talking about watching it at home or on airplanes and on a tiny screen.
Not being blown away.
Yeah. Not even that being blown away, just being like, oh, I regret not seeing this in a theater where I obviously should have seen it.
Yes. I've always regretted not seeing Avatar in theaters.
Exactly, yeah, because I rewatched
big
it on
mistake.
HBO.
It's
I was
not
like,
same.
This loses a lot of its power. I made sure to see that in IMAX 3D. And then that was it. I was like, I ain't gonna go see it in a smaller theater. I saw it on the biggest screen possible. I'm gonna do the same thing with Avatar 2.
Yeah,
because you got it with something like that.
When's that coming out? Year 3000?
It seems that way. No, it's slated for Christmas 2019.
No, not far away.
Still a couple years.
Yeah, and then Christmas 2020, Avatars 2 and 3, and then depending on how well they do box office wise and if people like them, Cameron's gonna finish 4 and 5.
Okay.
But he is actually waiting for it. Instead of just plowing ahead and doing them all, he's going to gauge public interest. Because I think he can
That's
tell
smart.
That people really aren't excited for any Avatar sequels.
Well, it's been too long, Chris. It's
been way too long. We have Marvel now.
Yeah, Marvel's blown us away
over.
3 times a year, man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, number 3?
Number 2.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Tyler Perry's Acrimony.
What?
$17 million.
$17 million?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's not bad. Does it have a budget? Mm-hmm.
No, not listed.
Like, Tyler Perry movies usually cost about $20 million.
Yeah.
And then he's taking like 5 of that off the top, putting in his pocket. Because he's Tyler Perry. That's why. One of the highest grossing, not highest grossing, one of the highest paid people in Hollywood, especially from the TV stuff that he does.
Mm-hmm.
All the syndication. He made sure to crank out 100 shows of each.
Yeah.
100 episodes of each show. Sold it to TBS and whoever. Like, syndicate, give me that money.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff on like TV One, I think.
TV One, yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
I can't name
BET.
A single Tyler Perry show to save my goddamn life, though.
Meet the Browns.
Meet the Browns, yeah.
That's the one that's like his Home Improvement, where it's the family living, whatever, right? Meet the Browns, what's the other one? Tyler Perry's, they all have his name in them.
They all Christmas. Have this.
Yeah, I can't remember. Meet the Browns, the only one I can think of. He definitely has 2 or 3, though. Acrimony, this one I kind of want to see because, so Tyler Perry did, I mentioned this on the show before, but he did Gone Girl. He was in that movie, and it's a David Fincher movie. David Fincher did 7, The Game, and Fight Club, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, stuff like that. A quote serious director. Tyler Perry had no idea who he was when he got the job. He's like, David Fincher, I don't know who that is. It was explained to him who David Fincher was. And he was like, oh, maybe I should pay attention on set and see how this guy makes movies. So he talked to him a lot, and he talked to him about filmmaking, and Fincher was apparently very open about giving him ideas. And then I read in an interview where Tyler Perry was like, I'm making a movie, not the next one coming out, which at the time was like Boo 2, Medea Halloween. It's like, not the next
influenced
one.
Influenced by David Fincher,
yeah,
Boo
exactly,
2.
Exactly. It's like, not the one that's coming out next, but the one after that. I'm putting out a movie that I think is going to surprise people. I'm taking a lot of things that I learned from David Fincher, a lot of things that I didn't even contemplate as a filmmaker, as a director, mm-hmm. and I'm going to try to apply these things and try to elevate my game and elevate my craft as a filmmaker. And then we saw what do we see the trailer for this in front of? Do you remember?
I don't even remember.
It was like 4 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
We saw the trailer for this Acrimony, and I remember the whole time I watched it, like, this looks kind of like dark and weird and interesting. And it's Taraji P. Henson. Is she in the lead?
Mm-hmm.
She's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end it says in the very top, written and directed by Tyler Perry. It's like, oh shit, this is that that inspired by a David Fincher movie.
Oh, is
this
that?
This is it.
I was guessing like Madea gets breast cancer or something.
That'd be
or...
intense. That'd be his terms of endearment style.
Madea goes to Syria.
No, that would be his influenced by Catherine Bigelow. So how did you make Zero Dark Thirty? No, so this is his like psychological thriller type of relationship film based on his experiences working with Gone Girl. I wanted to see it. I didn't have a time to do it. Drew, do you have the Rotten Tomato score for it?
28%.
Oh, God.
No,
that hurts.
No.
28%. Average rating 3.3.
No.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, so what does it say? What's the consensus?
No consensus.
How many reviews?
Wow. Like 20-something.
Oh, but they won't give you a...
18, sorry.
Oh, okay. So not that many reviews then.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, then screw those 18 people.
Yeah, screw them. And they're very strong opinions.
Yeah, they're very strong...
stands of hatred.
Credited opinions. I'm sure they're all racist people. Every single one of them. That's all it is. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
I'm gonna check this out eventually. I want to see because I saw what did I saw? We saw the first Tyler. There's only one of them. Tyler Perry Made a Christmas.
Yep.
And then I saw Confessions of a Marriage Counselor.
Okay.
Because they did. Because how did this get made? Did an episode on that one. I was like, oh man, I should watch this. So the episode makes more sense. I'll get around to Acrimony, I guess, when it's on Amazon Prime then or something like that. If it was over 50%, I was going to go.
28%.
That's
really low.
That's a stinker. That sucks. Sorry, yeah. Tyler Perry. We had hope.
Number one movie this week.
Number one.
Ready Player One.
Here we go.
Weekend gross of $41.2 million.
How much? 40?
41.
All right, that's right. We're tracking around 40 to 50.
It opened on Thursday, technically. So
it did. It did have a full Thursday.
That's chock filled with the pop culture references. That's the movie.
Pop culture crazy.
Total gross, yeah. 53.
53 total? Okay. On a budget of
a lot.
$500 million?
$800 million of money.
Must have cost a lot of money. Just a license.
That has to be a bummer, right? So when you sink that much money into a movie and it just...
million. Yeah, they definitely... You would hope something like this, a big action movie featuring all these characters, Steven Spielberg, you would hope it would open to like $100 million.
Yeah.
So when they saw that I was tracking around 50 and then up boons actually around like 40, yeah, that's got to be a bit of a bummer. We went and saw this. We already put up a spoiler-filled bonus episode, so if you want to hear all the deets, you can listen to that. But Drew, right now, let's do a spoiler-free review of Ready Player One. What'd you think?
It was decent enough for what it was.
It was decent enough for what it was. It was good.
It was 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it was good. High-pitched voice. It was good.
That went by real quick.
That's the thing. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes. It flies by because it's just like it's relentless in its plotting almost. After the first 5 minutes of exposition,
all right,
explaining a whole bunch of shit, then it's like bam, 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 just plowing forward.
And it's quick. It's to the point for what it is. I mean, it still has the heart and soul of the book, but at the movie, it's more of like an homage.
It's weird how at the length, it still feels light.
Yeah, it still feels like it's just paying lip service.
Yeah, that it's a lot of the character development is just not there. Mm-hmm. So it's just, here's the story, here's the plot, and it's, you know, it's a fun story.
So the movie's basically about these people trapped in a society where, what is the movie about?
It is a futuristic, you know, 2045, something like that. So overpopulation has screwed everything up.
Yeah.
And everyone escapes the real world by going into the Oasis. Which is like
virtual reality
internet that everyone uses for everything.
Okay.
And the person who creates this whole company dies, and he puts a game inside the Oasis that everyone can play. It's open to anyone, and whoever completes the game inherits his entire empire, Willy Wonka style.
All right.
And every game is like influenced on 80s pop culture because the guy who created the company was in love with the 80s. But there's also like other stuff, 90s stuff in there, 70s stuff, more modern like stuff, things in the 2000s, and like Overwatch characters pop up towards the end and things like that.
Right.
You
would think a movie like that would just do really well.
You would think so, and it's fun. It's a really entertaining movie, but first off, that's not the total vibe that's out there though. I'm seeing like a lot of people on the Twitter and the Facebooks and stuff. Not everyone likes it. Some people think it's a mess or it's just not good enough, which is surprising. I'm also seeing a lot of people who are like, choosing to skip out on it, which kind of blows my mind. It's like you got a brand new Steven Spielberg movie, action movie in theaters featuring all this stuff. You're just going to skip out on it? I mean, you're not going to bother?
Just think, like, I'll see when it comes on a streaming service.
Which I think
some movies are like that.
Some movies are okay with that, but one, I think it's worth seeing.
Yeah, the bigger screen, the better.
I kind of wish I saw it in 3D because there are certain scenes meant for 3D the way it's presented, and we just saw it in 2D. And while watching the scene, I was like, man, probably should have seen this in 3D.
Yeah. I saw Lady Bird on my phone.
In 3D?
And I felt... Yeah, I saw Lady Bird in 3D. I saw it on my phone, and I felt like, this is just right for this movie.
Exactly. You don't have to, like, go to IMAX with a million megawatts of sound for Lady Bird.
Right? On my phone / laptop, I switched back and forth.
Exactly. That's the perfect type of movie to see in that medium. But then something like Ready Player One, you'll probably see it on your laptop and be like, oh, I should have seen this in the theater. Even if you like don't like the movie all that much, there are going to be scenes in there that will probably blow you away. There's at least one scene in the middle of the movie that's like a 5-7 minute scene that I think it's like worth the price of admission alone. It's so good and so well done. And if you listen to our spoiler bonus episode, you'll hear exactly what scene we're talking about. I would say like people should watch it just because it's Spielberg, it's action, it's well made.
Yeah, give Spielberg his props, people.
Thank you. Give him.
He's a goddamn legend.
He's been doing it and doing it well for a while. Yeah, he just put out another movie this December. And he has one now. You're taking it for granted. He's gonna be gone soon. He's like 7 years old. We're not gonna have Spielberg forever.
At least, a shame.
It is a shame when you think about it that way. You know, nothing lasts forever, Fritz. Man, its existence is sad.
I can't
and
wait till it's so sad and lonely existence.
Yeah.
Let's have a moment of silence.
You know what? That's a good idea, Drew. Let's take a moment of silence for existence.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's some good stuff there. Okay. Yeah.
Rest in peace,
E.T. That's just a small little touch of oblivion, guys.
Just a touch of oblivion. That's what you can expect after you die.
That's what the end of the world sounds like.
Uh-huh. That is, one day it's just going to cut to that. You go smash cut to silence.
Yeah, just like Tony Soprano looks up blackness. Blank.
Exactly, black. Don't stop.
I miss the days when I used to think that he didn't just got killed at the end, and I thought, well, it's open interpretation.
No, it's not.
He's dead as fuck. That's probably the dude that went into the bathroom, and he probably came out and kept him right.
Yeah. It's so obvious now.
When you look back at it, it's so obvious. By the time everyone was like, What happened?
My fucking TV. Goddamn AT&T. Screwed me up.
We were watching like 6-7 people when it happened. We were like, who sat on the remote? And then the credits came up, and we're like, what? We just ate an Italian dinner. This is what happened. Go see Ready Player One, people. All right, Drew? Right? All right, here we go. New movies come out on DVD this week. Father Figures, the comedy featuring Ed Helms, the quote comedy featuring Ed Helms, and Owen Wilson looking for their biological father, right?
You had me at Ed Helms and Owen Wilson. I will not watch that movie.
There you go. You don't want to see a couple Owen Wilsons like,
wow.
I mean, he does a good job. They even featured in the Isle of Dogs trailer. The camera and goes, wow.
I will never forgive Ed Helms for ruining The Office.
You think he ruined The Office?
I really disliked his character. It was so good when he left and he wasn't in the show anymore during that later part.
Yeah.
But his character just was a doofus, and then you turned him into a dick. And I just feel like neither one
worked for him
that well, yeah.
Ed Helms is he's an interesting... He's always like... He's in that... Not a good looking dude, sort of comedy, but he sort of plays straight man a lot. Like in Hangover, he's a straight man.
Yeah.
And like Vacation, he was just like kind of trying to do the Chevy Chase thing, but really wasn't.
How did that movie go? They did
not very well.
Not that good. I was rooting for it too. I wanted it to be good.
Yeah.
I even liked the trailer. This marketing's pretty good.
There were some child rapey parts.
Oh,
yeah, there was some child rapey parts.
Yeah.
Well, it's not child rape, it's child rapey.
There was no actual child rape. But it seemed like that's where it was going to go.
It was joking around with a trucker child rape. A lot of fun. Good times. Good times.
Okay. All right. Good times.
I'm really glad that the guys making
it's harmless fun.
It's awesome that the guys who made that movie are behind the Flashpoint movie. That's going to go great. That's going to go really well. Insidious, The Last Key comes out on home video DVD this week. That's old Key Fingers over there. You see that trailer? He's got Key Fingers. I don't know what's going on. It's Insidious. You watch any of those movies?
I'm more a TV person.
Have you seen them on TV? I don't know if they play him on TV, like effects or something.
He has keys for hands?
Key fingers.
Yeah, oh, for his fingers. But they're like skeleton keys. But they're like the old looking.
And they're locked. Getting anywhere he wants.
Sticking them in people's throats and stuff.
It's weird.
Oh.
But it's PG-13, so it just like goes in like butter, and then there's like no... That's weird.
You know, that's why I enjoyed Logan, because it's so different from all the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Because when I watched Logan, I'm like, how did they have all these other movies without showing him decapitating people with this blade?
He's constantly like slicing people and cutting people up, and there's not a drop of blood in anything.
Yeah.
And then finally, this one shows what would actually happen if Logan had to like cut some people up, and it's like, yes, it's limbs dropping to the ground.
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh my god! When I saw that first scene, I was like, thank you, God.
Like, this is the way it's supposed to be. He
has these blades. It's impossible for him not to just maim and kill people. In gruesome ways.
It's ridiculous. Like he. I don't know. He finds at least half a dozen different ways to stick his blades into people's faces and heads. Like, at each direction possible.
Every different angle.
Yeah, all the angles, And either he'll, like, put your fist to your head and, like, pop the blade, or he'll, like, stab you from a distance. Or
a woman fuzzy on the inside. Yeah, Drew. Thinking about it.
Drew was jacking off the whole movie. It was very awkward.
He was just like, oh, just stick that blade in that guy's dick.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, what are you doing over here? I just heard the...
One blade down the urethra.
Through the head sideways.
Like, next to me, he's like, what's going on? Drew, what's coming out
in theaters? Well, speaking of The Office, we've got Mr. And actually at Helms, Chappaquiddick comes out.
Chappaquiddick, yes, the wonderful tale of Senator Ted Kennedy
and his killing that poor lady
and his tribulations of the accidental death, killing that lady
that just destroyed his chance of becoming president ever.
Yeah, it didn't help.
Doesn't help.
It didn't, I mean, he was still in office. He still remained senator for a while.
Yeah.
It didn't destroy his career.
Can't run for president with the murder beef on your...
It was a different time, Fritz. It was a different time. He was white. It was cool.
Yeah.
He's like, look, he was drunk. He's like Kennedy. He's like, I want to be president still.
I'm Chowda.
Also speaking of The Office.
Chowda. Say Chowda.
Directed and starring John Krasinski.
Yes.
A Quiet Place.
Yes.
Shout out to Jim Halpert having a successful post office career.
Yeah.
The one to do it, really, surprisingly, of everyone. It's kind of crazy. Like, Rainn Wilson was getting a lot of work, but he hasn't popped off in anything.
He had to grow a beard to do it, though.
He has been bearded the whole time.
Yeah. Hollywood would not accept him without a beard.
Like, strap on that beard and let's go. Here's a gun, here's a beard, make us a movie.
Yeah. I think he's doing more charity work now. He's becoming kind of like a recluse.
Philanthropist?
Yeah, philanthropist.
There you go.
Kind of guy now.
Which is good. That's good for him. It's crazy that he directed this movie. It's the first movie that he's directing feature length. And it played at some advanced screenings and stuff and had some pretty solid reviews. Have you seen the marketing for this and the trailers?
No. What's this movie again?
It's A Quiet Place. It's him and his wife, Emily Blunt, play parents. They have a family, and it's like another post-apocalyptic type thing where some sort of monsters are hunting and killing everyone, but they hunt by sound. So they have to be quiet at all times, and they live in a very quiet existence, apparently. Yeah, but then in the trailer, like, some kid finds a toy, and it turns on, and it's making a lot of noise. He's just playing with it. Doesn't seem bothered by the noise at all. Right?
Can we just get rid of the toys that just make sounds?
Get rid of the sound toys, exactly.
Always fuck things up.
And then as soon as it makes noise, you think he would, like, throw it and get rid of it, but he's, like, playing with it. It's like, you having him?
Yeah. Obviously, he dies.
He must. I hope so. You better.
Yeah.
Stupid kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you go. Quiet Place. What else has come out?
Blockers.
Blockers.
Oh. Now that looks like a good movie.
Originally called Cock Blockers. I'm surprised. I was surprised.
And now it's just a picture of a rooster.
The name is worse.
Yeah, it is worse now. Just Blockers. You should have gone all out, guys, and just call it Cock Blockers.
Maybe just, you know, to an asterisk or something somewhere.
Find
some way to censor the cock, the O, or something.
Yeah, I mean, is it that big of a problem? I mean,
come on.
We're just talking about dicks and penises. And
I thought they were talking about a rooster.
Rods and Johnsons.
They were rooster blockers.
Rooster blockers. Yeah. It's a farming movie about guys who are trying to keep their hens from being impregnated.
If it was straight to Netflix, it would have just been fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been. It would have been fine. Correct. Maybe it was developed to go straight to Netflix, and they're like, let's put it in theaters.
Yeah. Let's see what happens.
That's a mistake.
It could be
just straight for Netflix.
It could be.
It'll be better for you.
Who are the three parents? John Cena,
Leslie Mann,
and Ike Barinholtz.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
It is an odd threesome, you know, there.
I feel like the three of them together is equal to one like A-list.
One A-list. Yeah, the three of them. Yeah, you got three B-lists equals one A-list. Like those three equal one.
Now,
Kristen Wiig.
One low B-list and two high C-lists.
Yeah.
Who's John the low B-list? Well, I'm interested in this. Who's the low B-list? I would put Leslie Mann.
Leslie Mann.
B-list? Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I would have picked John Cena, the huge wrestling following.
He does have a huge rep, but for movies,
but for movies,
though,
he is so low on the totem pole.
Put him on the C-list. He's not like a Rock. He's more of
a... I mean, the Rock had to work his way up to where he is now. He had to work his way to be king of the movies.
He did. It took him a while to get there.
Joke for a long time.
A long time.
Yeah, he was doing like the game plan and stuff like that. The one where he was the Tooth Fairy. And then he fired his agent, signed out with a different agency, and then his career really took off movie-wise after that. That's when they started putting him in Fast and Furious, G.I. Joe, and what was that one? Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the sequels that he was inserted into, they all made more money than their previous films, and he started calling himself the franchise. He gave himself another
franchise
nickname.
Viagra.
Yeah, franchise Viagra. Yes, Drew, thank you.
He made it when it was not just The Rock or Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It's just Dwayne Johnson.
Yes, yes, exactly.
It was his own thing.
He had to overcome the whole The Rock thing, which is hard, but he's still...
And Jumanji made just shit tons of money.
Dude, it's a...
I had no idea until I saw it.
It's what was the total? 400, I think, here, and like 800 worldwide. I mean, almost a billion.
I saw it at a friend's place. It's like, oh yeah, let's throw this on. And then I looked up how much it made. I was like, what the fuck?
It was such a crowd pleaser.
I felt like I never heard anyone talk about that movie.
It's still in theaters.
It's still in theaters.
It made $650,000 this week.
Okay.
Domestic, $402,000. Foreign, $541,000. Worldwide, $944,000.
Man, that's crazy.
That's a sleeper hit. I have not heard... I've been on Facebook. I don't hear anyone talk about that movie at all.
And yet people went and saw it in droves week after week after week. Yeah. It's crazy. Everyone saw it and no one talked about it.
It was a good movie. I saw it. I liked it.
That's the thing. I think people who are seeing it are like... They enjoy it, but no one's flipping out for it. But it just came out maybe at the right time. There wasn't enough competition for family movies, stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, The Rock and Kevin Hart, I mean...
I think they're a great team up. Also, never doubt the pull of a good Jack Black performance. You know, people like Jack Black when he's good in something. He's not always good, but when he's good, he's great.
When he's good, he's great.
When he's good, he's great. Drusa Cogburn, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's teach you some stuff.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right. The doctor is in with your prescription for life. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris, this week I recommend that everyone throw away their to-do lists. It's nothing but a constant reminder of the things you haven't done. Cogburn out.
Oh! If you want to live a better, less stressful life, throw away your to-do list. Just throw it away. I like that. Very non-productive. I like that.
Live in the moment.
Yeah. Live in the moment, because the past is history. Tomorrow is a mystery.
Yeah.
All we got is the present. Guys, let's take a quick break. Crespo Disco time. One of my favorite parts of Ready Player One was the soundtrack done by Alan Silvestri, who did the Back to the Future theme and the Predator theme.
Which is why it sounded so much like Back to the Future.
There are a lot of moments. They had some straight up Back to the Future like cues.
There was a DeLorean in the movie.
There's a DeLorean in the movie. They had the Zemeckis cube, which was a fun little bit. So there's actual Back to the Future like music in there. But here's a random song I pulled. It's like 2-something minutes. Kind of exciting. And you can hear some of the similarities in these scores, because it's the same guy. It's Alan Silvestri. So here we go. Enjoy this song, and then we'll be back with the second half of the show. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
All right. Welcome to the second half of episode 273 of Cinema Crispy. So 273 in Roman numerals. That would be CCLXX. Drew Cogburn. How you doing, Drew? We are with Fritz. Pierre Fritz.
Ay, caramba.
Correct. Arriba. Orale. La raza. Now I'm mixing up Mexican slang.
Do you think there could be a
Puerto
Speedy
Rican
Gonzalez reboot? Or will people have a problem with that?
Racist as fuck. Especially when he introduced Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Oh, God.
Like, oh, hey, Speedy. I'm going to take a nap, Speedy.
Now I really want a remake.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's do a reboot.
I'm the Mexican Sleepy Mouse because I'm Slowpoke.
Yeah. Go fund me. I think, honestly, in today's climate, there'd be a market for
a
it.
A demand for some Speedy Gonzalez. Yeah. Hey, you know, we need more Hispanic representation in media. As long as you don't make Speedy Gonzalez a drug courier of some sort, then I'm fine.
You know he's got to be.
Some gritty reboots.
Yeah.
He's
got to
be.
The gritty reboot thing has got to end, especially with Speedy Gonzalez. Like, I got to get the Arriba. Get the drugs across the border.
Arriba. You want to know why Speedy Gonzalez was so speedy? He was just doing all that Colombian cocaine.
He was all that Colombian cocaine that was coming through Mexico up into America. Slowpoke, meanwhile, he's on that dirt weed.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, poor guy. I'm going to bed, Speedy.
I'm going to take a nap.
He's like, oh, Speedy.
Take a siesta.
Speedy Gonzalez and Slowpoke Rodriguez are essentially the Jim Crows of 70s Looney Tunes characters.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad. Why not a Jim Crow remake? reboot.
Bring the Jim Crows back.
I want a reboot. All right, I want a remake of Dumbo, but from the viewpoint of the Jim Crows.
Ooh.
Yeah, the whole time. So then Dumbo's gone, and then it's just them hanging out for like an hour.
I ain't never seen a horse fly.
Oh, my God.
God damn it.
Why was this ever cool?
Only made $900 million.
So much money. They made Dumbo 2, went straight to video. That OBP is delicious. Drew Sakai, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419, some places on the internet.
Do it, people. Hit them up. Go to your favorite goodies, GIFs. GIFs? Fritz! First off, where can people find you online? Where would you like them to find you?
Just add me on Facebook as a friend. Be my friend, please. All right, Fritz Pierre. Go. Just look me up.
Excellent. Where can people see you do some comedy?
Well, actually, this Wednesday, I'll be performing at the Geekeasy.
Okay.
On Wednesday at around 8.
Nice.
We have Heather Shaw's going to be performing. She's been on the podcast.
Very cool. Yes, she is.
We have Ross Padgett of Real Radio 104.1.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Is going to be in the house. Very nice. It's going to be a good time.
That sounds like a good lineup already.
Yeah.
Very cool.
We have a whole bunch of amazing Orlando comics that are going to be there.
Is it a free show?
It's a free show. Just come on down. We got Marcus Crespo.
Good old Marcus. Not going to be in town much longer, I hear. He's moving to Jacksonville. Moving back to Jacksonville, Drew.
Oh, your brother's moving away?
My brother from another mother is moving back. Yeah, yeah.
It's only going to be one Crespo in town.
Well, my actual brother has moved in, so he's there's actually now multiple Crespos again.
Oh, okay.
my real brother. Shout out to Joseph. Yeah, Marcus. He's a funny dude. He's been on the show. Where's this?
He's dynamite. Right
here somewhere.
That guy is lightning in a bottle. I've seen that guy kill in front of a totally dead audience.
Yeah, as he can turn him around.
He can turn everything around.
I told him this when
he's got the juice.
Yeah, I told him this when I saw him when he was here on the show. I saw him do comedy at a Ross McCoy tumbleweed show, and it was election night at Frankenstein's downtown.
I will never forget that night.
Terrible night, horrible night, and the only joke I remember, the only laugh I had of the night was a Marcus Crespo joke.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this guy's got it.
Because the entire night we were going, I can't wait, no, this is happening?
Yeah, I was looking at the TVs above him.
There's no fucking way.
It's like, what, these numbers don't
look
right. Excuse
me? No, this is there's something wrong
here.
There
could be a 9/11 type event happening and he would still kill as it was happening.
It would seem that way, yeah, because he's got the energy, he's got it, he's good. You're right, he's got the goods. So there you go. Wednesday at the Geekies, anything else off the top of your head that you want to promote that you know of?
Off the top of my head, I'll just be in town doing open mics.
Been around?
There's a 420 show in Longwood at the Ozone Bar, hosted by Saadi Von Brown.
Never heard of the Ozone Bar.
It's in Longwood. It's a little hole in the wall. All right, whatever. Right. Follow me on Facebook. I'll keep you updated on it.
So for the 420 show.
Yeah,
bro. 420, dude.
Smoke up, dude. Snoop Dogg, baby.
Yeah, it's Hitler's birthday. Yeah, baby.
Columbine. Let's celebrate.
Yeah, 420. Woo. Yeah. We're going to march against gun violence, bro.
I'm going to shave my head.
That's what 420 is about, right? Yeah. That's how 420 is all about?
Yep. Yeah, right. It's about the Waldos. They met up at the gun club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
At the end, and they did Sig Heil.
Sig Heil.
And then they happened to smoke weed also.
And then the weed just happened. Smoking weed every day.
We went past the whole guns and Hitler thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's just the backdrop of the day. For most people, it's just another Friday when you do it. Well, all that stuff.
For me as well. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You see the inside of my room. Swastika galore.
People don't know, but you
it's
know,
heritage, not hate.
Yeah, exactly. It's heritage thing. Fritz just appreciates the Hugo Boss uniform.
Oh my god! Honestly,
dude, seriously,
they look nice. As fuck. They look
really so nice. Seriously, man. There's something about those Nazi uniforms.
There's something about the color of the black was just so smooth.
Yeah, you know, he really knew
the skulls
simplicity.
And
yeah,
the lightning bolts for the S's.
It's badass.
It is. It's great looking. And then you add some Hugo Boss cologne to that, and you're off to the races. You're off to Zion races. And people don't know Fritz has like the biggest collection of Nazi memorabilia in Orlando.
Off to the Aryan races.
Yeah, I've got a first draft of my
Kampf.
That's amazing. Yeah. You mean the one that includes a chapter about how the Asians are the greatest race on the planet?
Yeah.
Hitler loved Asians, Drew. Did you know that?
He loved
Asians.
He liked the Ilopuntang.
Not that. I mean, he considered the Oriental races to be almost equal, if not superior, to his fabled Aryan race.
He was hooked on the side of his vagina. Sideways, Chris.
Sideways vagina sounds amazing, also.
Fritz, I was trying to let him burn.
It's sideways.
Sideways vagina. Juicer knows that sideways vagina is the name of my... That was my high school punk rock. We were called Sideways Vagina. And we only covered turning Japanese punk rock, but we did like a 20-minute version of it. That was our whole set. Mm. We didn't last very long in the punk rock scene.
Came early.
Yep.
I don't have a badum. All right, there you go. People, friend Fritz on Facebook. That's a lot of Fs. And then you can see where he's at and check him out. Like I said, I saw him at the Copper Rock, and he's a very funny dude, so I highly recommend it. What's your Instagram? I follow you on Instagram, too, and I check out your story. Instagram stories.
It's FritzPierre92.
FritzPierre92. There you go, guys.
Every weekend, you see me get drunk and post a lot of embarrassing stuff that I regret immediately.
It's a lot of content. It's actually worth going through quickly when you're on the shitter, I gotta say.
Yeah.
It's good shitter content. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in the best way possible. Cinema Crespediso is on Instagram under Cinema Crespediso. You can also follow PFT Media. Let's plug this real quick. We'll be talking about this over the next 5 weeks, but we're doing we're teaming up with Get Rad Records, and we're doing a band showcase/podcast showcase. Mm-hmm. First of its kind. No one's done anything like this before. It's going to be weird. But at the Stranded Sailor English Pub on 418 Sanford Avenue in downtown Sanford, we will be doing from 12 to 3 a punk rock podcast swap meet. Uh-huh. People can bring all their old instruments, their old equipment, and you can sell it. You can swap it out. You can look at other people's shit. It's just a way that we can, you know, help each other out. And then from 3 o'clock on to the rest of the night, there will be bands playing on the stage. And then between the bands, we're going to be doing live podcasting. And we'll have a PA system set up, Drew, in the, either in the front or the back, so people can hear us live as we record. And there's going to be food vendors there, food trucks, nice. All sorts of stuff. It's going to be a big, big deal. It's a lot of fun. And we'll be talking about it for the next few weeks. So did I say the date, Drew?
No.
Cinco de Mayo! Ay, arriba!
Finish him!
Oh, that was wrong. That was the wrong button. That was not the right button. Cinco de Mayo. Echi de Mayo, as a matter of fact.
Crespo de Mayo?
No, it's Echi de Mayo because it is Steve Echi's birthday.
Oh, there we go.
It's also Steve Echi's birthday. So, come on out, guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have more details. There's already the list of bands online. I could have looked it up already, but I
did not
have my shit together. But like I said, we have time. We have time to promote this. So there you go. Echi de Mayo, Cinco de Mayo coming up downtown Sanford. Get Red Records, team up with PFT Media. It's going to be a lot of fun at the Stranded Sailor Pub. Follow me on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. All right, here we go. Drew, let's start with Billy D.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What? Dude, we're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, it's time for Billy D's
Death of the Movies.
Then it's time for Juicy Cogram to read his email. Billy D's our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado, and our homie, Dr. Drew. Take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
I caught Ready Player One at the Alamo yesterday.
Here we go.
It's certainly an adaptation of a book about video games. But it was wildly different from the book I read.
Yeah, it's pretty different.
I had a similar issue with it that I did with The Martian, that it moved real fast from plot point without showing any work or mistakes along the way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's adventure by way of epiphany. While I warmed to The Martian over time, I'm not sure Ready Player One will win me over on multiple viewings.
Oh, wow.
But I would like to see it again for sure.
Huh.
Two of the set pieces really stood out. The race...
Oh, wait, is he going to say? Are you going to censor?
It's fine.
Because it's a fun surprise for people.
The race and the film challenge, but I'd have preferred something more like the film challenge in the book as opposed to a Dark Souls version of a horror movie. I had a good time at the movies, and there were elements I liked, but none of them were the story. They were just things I really liked in a different context.
Okay.
It was a decent early start to the summer movie season, but overall I think people who didn't read the book will have more to enjoy out of this movie.
Mm.
And it's not like the book is a great book. It's a fun read.
Yeah.
So I guess the movie should be the same. And it sorta is. The world building in the book is amazing. The characters, not so much. The world building in the movie is okay, and the characters are better fleshed out for the story they are telling.
Interesting. Okay.
I also saw a decent Icelandic thriller called I Remember You on Netflix. It had some pacing issues, but was worth watching. Stakeability.
I Remember You. I saw him tweet about I Remember You for the Crespo Hundo, hashtag Crespo Hundo. He said, I Remember You is, it's hard to say that I Remember You is a fun movie because it has so many dead kids in it.
Oh, fun.
But it's a fun movie.
It is.
It's a fun movie. So there you go. Uh-huh. I Remember You.
Fun movie with dead kids.
All right, so there you go. Ready Player One. He's coming down on the side of, like, he's like, he's kind of about it. He's kind of about it. But then he also says he wants to see it again.
Well, I mean, I want to see it again.
I want to see it.
I wasn't too thrilled about the movie.
I was thrilled about parts of it.
Yeah.
Parts of it are, like, crazy thrilling.
Yeah.
You know?
Parts of it are not so great.
But parts of it are... That's the thing. I don't think any of it is necessarily bad, though.
It's just right in the middle.
A lot of it is.
Yeah.
But it's Spielberg right in the middle, which is so much better than other people's, like, best.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? It's a weird thing. It's weird.
You won't regret seeing it.
I don't think so, for the most part. I don't think people will regret at least checking it out. All right, here we go. Juicer Cogburn versus the world. It is time for some trivia. Drew, this year you are 7-5,
okay,
winning last week against our guest, Ken Miller. That was a lot of fun. This week's game called Which Made More? Classic game, Drew. I'm going to tell you two movies. You tell me which one made more money at the box office. And it's a video game edition. So, Drew, I have two groups of five, A and B. Which one do you want, A or B? Hey, here we go. Which made more, Juicy Cogburn, Mortal Kombat or Assassin's Creed?
Mortal Kombat
made $70 million. Assassin's Creed, $54 million. That's correct. All right.
Nice.
There you go. Number two, which made more, Warcraft or Max Payne?
Bring the Pain.
Bring the Pain with Max Payne.
Oh,
with
wow.
With friend of the show, Mark Wahlberg.
Maximus Payne.
Which abortion of a movie was slightly better? Warcraft.
Warcraft made $47 million. Oh. Max Payne made $40 million.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Sorry, Marky Mark. Number three. Which made more? Speaking of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Doom.
Oof.
Or Street Fighter.
Doom, that was back when he was just The Rock.
That was when he was just The Rock,
yeah. That movie was
it's like 2004-ish, yeah. Doom or Street Fighter, which made more?
The only reason why I'm saying Doom is because I walked out of Street Fighter when I was a child, so.
And Doom, you just merely fell asleep in it.
Yeah, I didn't really fall asleep, I was just bored.
Oh, don't you go...
I think it's somebody else.
Maybe I fell asleep.
Maybe.
So what did you say, Doom?
Yeah.
Doom made $28 million.
Okay.
Street Fighter made
$33 million.
Really? There you go. Don't look past the power of 90s Jean-Claude Van Damme. Number four, which made more? Super Mario Bros. Because that's the title. Or Need for Speed. Which made more? Super Mario Bros. Or Need for Speed? All right, Super Mario Bros. Made $20 million.
All right.
Need for Speed, 43. All right, there you go. And finally, number five, which made more? Double Dragon. Or... Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank.
Double Dragon made $2 million. Ratchet and Clank?
Thanks.
$8 million. There you go. Trista Cogburn, 4 out of 5. Boom. Right? Pierre, wow. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go. Which made more? Lara Croft, : Tomb Raider.
Titties.
Or Prince of Persia, : Sands of Time. Also titties.
Oh,
Jake Gyllenhaal's. Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal's got some... Yeah, I'm going to go with Prince of Persia on that one.
All right, Lara Croft, : Tomb Raider made $131 million.
God damn it.
Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, $90 million. So I'm still making a lot.
I would have gone Prince of Persia as well.
Yeah. Prince of Persia, $49 less. All right, which made more?
$49.
Silent Hill or Resident Evil?
Ooh. You know, I gotta give it to... Silent Hill on this one.
All right.
I gotta give it to that.
Silent Hill made $46 million. Resident Evil, $40 million. There you go. Yes. Well done. All right. Number three, which made more? Hitman.
Okay.
Or Hitman, : Agent 47.
Now, the : is obviously the sequel.
Correct.
Okay.
Battle of the Hitman.
Or actually, I think it was more of a reboot.
They tried to reboot.
Yeah, it was like a whole new... Because the first one was Timothy Oliphant. Uh-huh. The second one was just some random dude.
Some guy.
I gotta go with Hitman.
The original?
Yeah.
Hitman made $39 million. Hitman, : Agent 47, $22 million.
Yeah. Oh,
there you go.
The reboot is what I...
Yeah, there you go. Number four. Final Fantasy, : The Spirits Within. Or... Mortal Kombat, : Annihilation.
Final Fantasy all the way.
Final Fantasy made $32 million. Mortal Kombat Annihilation, $35 million. A $3 million difference. And finally, number five, which made more? Blood Rain or House of the Dead? Two classic films by Dr. Uwe Boll. Blood Rain or House of the Dead, which made more money at the box office?
I gotta go with House of the Dead.
All right, Blood Rain made $2 million.
Yes.
And somehow they made a sequel. House of the Dead made $10 million.
Hey, there you go. Yeah. All right.
So you go 3 out of 5. A good showing, but still, Drew Cogburn is the winner. Damn. Well done, Drew. Putting you at a record of 8-5. All right.
Getting
still
slightly better.
Still good game, guys. Good game. All right. Shout out to Billy D. We appreciate him for hitting us up with his Billy D set to the movies. You can follow him all over the internet at I Love Blood. Also, if you're into if you're on Facebook, he has a page. Billy D takes pictures, takes pictures. Billy D takes pictures, and it's him just walking around New York City, taking sweet pictures. And it's really good stuff.
It's a great place for photos.
A wonderful place for photos. Instant production value when you walk outside. You point the camera, but he also knows how to take pictures too. So that helps.
There was a lady. I used to live in New York. There was a lady. She would walk around. She was homeless and had weird. She looked like a homeless person.
Sure. Yeah.
She'd go, "Help, my baby has cancer."
That's not good.
But she did it, and it's like her baby was about to die.
Yeah.
But she said that story for like 2 years straight.
Man, that's a strong baby.
It's a strong baby.
Funny how that works.
Or she's telling a lie, one or the other.
Oh, no way.
No way. Why?
Why are you gonna just because she's homeless?
Because she's homeless, she's not alive.
Yeah, what's wrong with you, Drew?
What if her baby is dying of cancer for 2 years
two
straight?
2 years,
her,
Drew.
Her baby probably died of cancer a decade ago.
You think she even had a baby?
That's probably milking. That's probably what made her crack.
Drew just made it sad.
I mean, we were having fun with someone's mental illness. I just made it real.
But she's like having delusions that her baby's still alive after all these years.
Man. So,
a decade later.
I never gave her money, though.
Good. She was just going to spend it on drugs.
Yeah. I mean, I spend my money on drugs.
No, exactly. That's my drug money, not hers.
I'm just trying to bring up the mood here. Just trying to bring up the mood a little bit. When did you live in New York?
It was like around 2011, 2012.
Yeah?
I had a year where I was like, I'm just going to move to... I helped my friends get an apartment.
Okay.
And I just fucked around and drank beer and became too broke that I had to leave.
That's usually what happens. Where were you staying? What borough?
Manhattan.
Straight up in Manhattan. You will run out of money quick in Manhattan.
Quick. I was all the way in 170th Street.
Oh, that's Harlem, right?
That's Washington Heights.
Yeah, it's even past Harlem.
That's Spanish Harlem.
Yeah, that is. That's all the way up there. Although, is it still Spanish Harlem now? It's all gentrified and different.
Oh, yeah. There's
nothing's the same.
Nothing's the same.
There was a section in Brooklyn back in the 60s and 70s where it was like north of Sunset Park, and it's very Puerto Rican heavy at the time. Now it's not anymore. My parents said it was called North Vietnam and South Vietnam.
Yeah.
Because it was so crazy and violent that they just decided to name it after the war that was going on at the time, Vietnam.
Good neighborhood.
Good times.
The best neighbors have nicknames.
Nicknames that are like, you know, implying some sort of hellish landscape.
Yeah.
North Vietnam, South Vietnam. Hell's Kitchen. You know, it's a very direct... they're just like, fuck it, we're just calling this place Hell's Kitchen.
Baltimore, Maryland, they call it Bodymore Murderland.
Yeah, they do.
Because it is.
From The Wire.
it's hysterical. Because that dude is from there. He's like, this place is fucked up. You know, Orlando. We're all easy here. We're a bunch of sluts. Drew, especially this guy. Man, forget about
that. I'm a true whore. Yeah, you gotta pay me, Chris. I don't get it for free.
Ah. I need more buttons that and a wider array of sound effects here.
I'm really repeating myself. McChicken. Give me a McChicken, some McNuggets.
That's it? That's
chicken
it.
Heaven.
You are a cheap date.
How many McNuggets can you eat?
I think I can go with 20.
20? I could definitely do 20, yeah.
20 is reasonable.
Before you start getting sick of them or like the texture gets weird.
It depends.
It stops being food.
If it's like a timetable, then that's different.
A nugget a minute,
I could do that.
Power hour.
Yeah, power hour.
I need sauces.
That's key.
The variety of sauces are the key.
That is correct. Speaking of power hour, Drew, we're going to start doing some of power hour bonus episodes. But not nuggets, like actual booze.
I'm not going to be a part of that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
No.
Yeah.
Power hours? Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, Drew.
I'm not being involved.
Yeah.
No.
It's going to be great.
No.
We're going to have a lot of fun. No. Why? You just got to walk home.
Nope. Uh-uh.
Me and Heather Shaw used to do power hours when we first became friends.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's fun. It's good times.
Isn't she sober now? Right?
I think she's sober now, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Heather Shaw. That's great.
Because of the power hours.
Because of the power hours.
Exactly.
Last power I had, I was in competition, and then I chugged one, and I was like, I'm fine. And just foam came everywhere in my mouth, and I just foamed the floor up.
Oh, you're not supposed to chug him. We're supposed to do a shot in a minute.
We were doing a hardcore power hour.
Oh, my God, Drew. It's only a shot a minute, man. No. Relax.
No.
Relax.
I'm not interested.
It'll be fun.
Nope.
We'll have a good time.
Not gonna do it.
We'll do beers. You do chicken nuggets.
I'm not involved in this at all.
We'll get you 10 from... We'll get you 10 McNuggets.
Nope.
10 Wendy's nuggets. Mm-mm. 10... Mm-hmm. Burger King nuggets.
What about Chick-fil-A nuggets?
Yeah, I'll get you 20 Chick-fil-A nuggets. How many is that? You got 50?
Yeah, it's like $100.
We got about $100 worth of nuggets for you, Drew.
Yeah,
not interested.
All right, we're doing this in about 2 hours. So.
No, thank you.
So we'll see you here in 2 hours.
I'll be here.
For the Nugget Power Hour. See, you just said he'll be here. It's on the record.
Yeah.
It's on the record. You're shaking your head no, but that's not on the record because people can't see it. What are we doing next, Drew? It is time for the Vox Populi, the segment of the people.
I know what you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
That's right. What you see, you tell us, and then we read it on the show. Well, Drew reads it. I just sit here and listen. Drew, take it away.
Chris, we got an email from Gabe.
What's up, Gabe, our homie?
Subject is Long Live the Vox Populi.
He likes the Vox Populi.
What up, show?
What's up?
Did you know marble racing is a thing?
Marble racing? I did not. Did you?
Mm-mm.
I did not.
Google it. People watch.
Don't tell me what to do.
People watch it at bars and breweries in Austin. It's weird.
Oh, because he's in Austin.
Anyways, what's your favorite racing movie?
Favorite question. Speed Racer.
That's what I was gonna say.
You're gonna say Speed Racer.
It's Carfu, yeah. Man.
It is Carfu.
It is like one of the only like real like racing movies that I think I've ever seen. Where it's like, it's about racing.
What about Rush?
I mean, yeah, but
Days of Thunder.
Good one.
Yeah, what else? What else?
It's not. I mean, those cars don't fight each other.
Cars.
F8.
F8. I haven't seen that.
Fast 8.
Oh, the Fast and Furious movies. You consider them racing movies?
They started off as car racing movies.
The very first one was for sure about now they're like racing.
Now they're like military super soldiers.
It's insane.
They are. They are CIA operatives the highest level.
Oh my god, it's so funny how it evolved.
America's last defense is Ludacris.
Yep. Yo, in the second movie,
and Tyrese.
Ludacris was installing car stereos, and then by the fifth one, he's like hacking into other governments, like central intelligence. Come on.
It's ludicrous.
Oh,
it's Chris Bridges.
It is. There you go. It's Chris Bridges doing his thing.
It's ludicrous.
Yeah, I'm going Speed Racer on that one. How about you? Racing? Anything about favorite racing movie?
You know, I don't see. I think I go with the last racing movie I saw. It was the Fast and Furious movie.
There you go. The
eighth one.
The eighth one? Was there racing in it, though?
I don't think so.
They raced to get to the MacGuffin.
They raced
to get to what was it? They're trying to get to the...
Yeah.
They had to take a very expensive car in between skyscrapers. Was that the last one?
That was the seventh
one. Is that the one where Rock broke out of
his cast? That's the... I don't remember. Seventh one.
I don't remember.
Oh, Jesus.
That's the seventh one. The eighth one is Charlize Theron.
All these movies meld together like the Harry Potter movies for me.
They just
weave in and out. I have no idea what's going on.
They're starting to. I can't remember. The sixth one's one with Luke Evans. Anyway. All right. What else we have?
I got an email from Jason.
What's up, Jason?
Hey, I saw a screening of Fight Club a few weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
I, like Chris, saw it twice in its original 3-week theatrical run. Loved it. Started reading Chuck Palahniuk books as quick as I could.
Mm-hmm.
Still haven't seen Choke with Academy Award winner Sam Rockwell.
It's okay.
But I sure as hell read the book. Quite coincidentally and fortuitously, I blasted through the first season of Mr. Robot just a few days after rewatching Fight Club.
Ah, that's funny.
What do you know? Mr. Robot Season 1 is, in my humble opinion, a mix of Fight Club and The Matrix with a dash of American Psycho.
And a little bit of Network thrown in for good measure.
And the fact that Mr. Robot guys knew they were lifting the twist right out of Fight Club and added a little Where Is My Mind to the soundtrack had me giggling with glee.
Yeah, it's funny.
How about a tag team bout in honor of homages in the Dome de la Crespo?
Whoa, Crespo Dome battle, here we go! Crespo Dome!
Rami Malek and Christian Slater versus Edward Norton and Brad Pitt.
I wanted the tag team.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with your high tension review. It was pretty good until that dumbass twist.
Thank you.
I remember thinking the twist better not be what I think it's gonna be. So cheap and nonsensical. Have a good rest of the show.
Thank you. Did I talk about that on this show? You may be referencing when I was on a corporate time a week or so ago. I was talking about how much I hated that movie. All right, Crespo Dome battle. This is fun. We do this every now and then, Fritz. Crespo Dome battle. Two, in this case, four men enter.
All right.
Two of them are gonna leave.
Well, technically one person though.
Ooh,
oh, that's true, yeah, because we're talking about Mr. Robot and Fight Club.
Technically,
all right, but let's see. So first off, which duo is a better actor? We have Christian Slater and Rami Malek, Ed Norton and Brad Pitt. Which one of those two duos would you consider the better acting duo?
That's tough. That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. Because who are the weak spots? Rami Malek is better than Christian Slater.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think Edward Norton.
Ed Norton's better than Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Is the worst Slater worse than the worst Brad Pitt? Who could be worse?
Yeah,
yes.
Slater's worse than Brad Pitt, right?
Slater could be so awful.
He could be terrible.
He could be also watchable.
But y'all can be watchable. I think it's going on who's...
Brad Pitt's like just kind of meh.
He can be meh. He can be good too, but if he's bad, he's just meh. Christian Slater can be bad.
Yeah, like bad.
But he's really good at Mr. Robot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Fantastic.
It's been a long time since Christian Slater's been good.
And it's been a long time since Ed Norton has been relevant.
Oh, Jesus. Where is that guy?
Birdman. Right?
Birdman. He had a small role in that where he played a difficult to work with actor.
He played himself.
Well, yeah, what a stretch. Better actor. I think I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Rami Malek on this one. Rami Malek and Christian Slater. Christian Slater being dragged along by Rami Malek is my vote for better actor duo. What do you guys say?
I gotta go with the same. Okay. Rami Malek is what pulls it away.
He's so
good. He's got a lot of potential.
He does.
He's got his career is ahead of him.
He does. I can't wait to see his Freddie Mercury.
Oh my god, I heard that it was amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's gonna be really
groundbreaking.
The pictures I see on it looked incredible. Drew, what do you think?
I'm gonna be the dissenting opinion. I'm gonna go with Edwin Norton. All
right. You know, I'm not gonna argue against it. I think it's so close that you could go with either one. I'm going with Malick, but Ed Norton, man, Primal Fear, guys.
The Freddie Mercury thing clinches it.
I think so. Sight unseen, I think it does. But now,
who would win in a fight?
Malick, Slater, Pitt Norton. I think this one's a little obvious.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Detecting Pitt Norton, no matter what.
It's the guys from Fight Club who were super ripped when they made that movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Brad Pitt. Just beat the crap out of everybody.
Yeah, Brad Pitt was HGH crazy. He had those muscles on the side where it's like you could see that one. The wind ripped. Yes.
Yeah.
And then he had the V thing going on down here. Come on,
girls,
man.
Girls go crazy for the V thing.
The V, because it's
arrow
hard
to the dick.
That's hard to do. And he did it.
Yeah, you got to be real malnourished to do that.
He did. Was he malnourished or just healthy?
I guarantee you,
I'm just being a hater.
He was probably just eating baby fetuses at that point.
That's what he was, straight up. That was the easiest way to get that.
That's
HGH.
Not what people look like.
And the stem cells. Not our people.
That's
I mean,
that's
Americans.
What people look like in real life.
That's crazy. But it's a movie. Yeah, fighting the Fight Club, guys.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. That was your Crespodome battle. All right, what else we got?
Got an email from Ron.
What's up, Ron?
So, I wonder if you guys like stoner movies. I do not take part.
Especially when stoned, you guys.
I do not take part in the devil's weed. I personally do not see the point.
You don't smoke the wizard's beard?
But I have no right to infringe.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did. But I have no right to infringe on others and what they do behind closed doors. Mm. If the opulent, overdressed, original, and Oedipal Mike Cogburn wants to get baked.
Mike Cogburn.
That's what he said. Wants to get baked, let him be. Yeah, let me be, guys. What the fuck?
Yeah.
So I was not a fan of the movie, like How High or Super Troopers.
Okay.
They seem not to be movies at all. More like stumbling through a plot with mittens on your feet and hands tied together with Twizzlers.
I gotta say that's accurate.
It is accurate. That's also a hell of an analogy there.
What are you talking about?
Weed?
Super Troopers has Brian Cox.
Brian Cox. Brian Cox is a lot of fun. He's a lot of fun in that movie.
But now, after a movie like Game Over, man, I can see the appeal. Oh. In my old ass age, I see the value of turning off your brain. The idea to see a story through with our wondering about physics or sciences. So I define stoner movies as what you can enjoy with your brain turned off.
Okay.
No longer as potheads with money wasting time behind the camera. How would you define it?
Interesting. Stoner movie, the plot just has to hinge on weed somehow. It actually doesn't have to plot. We just got to be in the movie.
Yeah.
People got to be smoking it.
Yep.
And making decisions whilst high.
Yes.
And then oftentimes those decisions are going to be bad.
Of course.
Because we need drama. It's a movie. Drama in ridiculous situations.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Pineapple Express.
Case in point.
Amazing example of a stoner movie that I love that movie.
I thought it was great writing.
Yeah. Wonderful writing. So good. And kind of actually, I get Ron's definition of stoner movie where it's like just stumbling through a movie and it's very slapped together. Like Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke.
Has that feel to it,
which I love. I love that. Pineapple Express feels like, no, this is a well-crafted movie.
This is a movie. It just happens to be about stoners.
Yes, exactly.
Seth Rogen is a very productive stoner.
Yes, he is extremely productive.
Writing.
And David Gordon Green is a really good filmmaker, and he was just coming off of a bunch of dramas and wanted to prove that he can make a comedy. So that was his first like actual comedy. Since then, he made Your Highness is another one, which is a weird stoner movie because it's like the fantasy stoner.
It's fantasy stoner, yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange one.
They were trying to do Pineapple Express, but in medieval ages.
Exactly, less successful, but still fun.
Half baked.
I'm a big fan of half baked, even though Dave Chappelle himself is not. Yeah,
no,
he says like we made a weed movie for kids.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
and when you watch it, it's like you did.
Yeah,
you
it's
did.
Hilarious.
It's definitely PG-13, but it's fun. Yeah, I enjoy it. I want to talk to Samson. I think that all the time whenever I hear the word Samson.
My doctor says I need a backy out of me.
Oh man, it's such a fun quotable movie. Yeah, stoner films are fun. We enjoy them.
Yeah, I enjoy them.
I mean, really,
when I'm stoned, I don't enjoy them.
Really?
I like to watch really serious stuff when I'm stoned.
Like in Zodiac.
Yeah, let me put on... Yeah. Yeah.
Get really high and watch Zodiac.
We'll watch The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
Yeah, exactly.
So you just want to get high and stare at a wheat field.
or a bunch of sunsets.
Yeah.
Or I'll just turn on the NASA channel then and look at the Earth like slowly rotating.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, this is flat.
And realize how small and insignificant you are.
Yeah, well, that's when I'm on a cruise ship looking up at the inky blackness
of
the sky.
And then looking down at the inky blackness of the water.
Of the water, and then be like, I should just jump. This is it right here.
Into the darkness.
This is all.
P.S.
There's more.
I saw Isle of Dogs.
Oh, cool.
Good, quirky family film. Thank you, anime, for the languages lesson.
All right, Isle of Dogs. Going wide, weekend of April 5th. So we should be able to see it then next weekend. All right, Ron, we appreciate that, buddy. Thanks a lot, sir. Anything else for the Vox Populi?
No, sir.
All right, that's it for the segment of the people. Now let's do movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about
navigating
the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right, time for the most important segment in all of podcasting, the Cinema Crespediso Movie News segment. We're going to talk about them celebrity beach bods and those crazy hot Hollywood divorces. But first off, we need a Justin Bieber update. Fritz, what's up with the Biebs?
He's found God now.
He has found
He's a
God.
Religious man. He's got this hipster priest's Bible guy.
Yeah.
With the glasses and the tattoos, and he does arenas.
Very disconcerting, one of these like cult of personality type preachers. Like, like a charismatic preacher type thing.
He's like the preacher for like people that are like cool with smoking weed and having unprotected sex.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what is that? That's weird. It feels culty.
It feels like he's a con man, a hustler. Like just got good with Justin Bieber and is just
taking all of his money.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Fritz, God bless him.
Fritz, you know, thanks for the Biebs update, man. We appreciate it.
I know about
it.
The Biebs. I keep up with him.
As we do here on Cinema Crespediso. Also, reportedly, Ben Affleck's new girlfriend might want a baby. She wants a baby. She wants a little Ben Affleck baby. She wants a baby Affleck.
She wants a little Batman.
She wants she wants a little Batfleck.
Gross.
Hopefully he'll be born with a giant gnarly back tattoo.
Is Ben Affleck severely depressed? What's going on with him?
I feel like every time I look at him, he just looks puffy and sad all the time.
Yeah.
He went to rehab for alcohol, but I don't think it stuck.
Ever since J-Lo, man. Downhill.
J-Lo just sucked the life force
out of him.
Jenny
from the block.
That's why he, even in his 40s and exercising, he looks all puffy and terrible. She's like 82 years old and looks amazing. It's incredible.
She's a succubus.
She is definitely a succubus. She can succubus all the life out of me if she wants. I don't care. Taika Waititi, coming off of Thor Ragnarok, another highly successful film for Marvel. Taika Waititi is now able to take a little bit of his clout and make his next movie, which is going to be called Jojo Rabbit. Jojo Rabbit is a World War II film. It centers on a young German boy who finds out that his mother, to be played by Scarlett Johansson.
Ooh, I love her.
Is hiding a Jewish girl in their home.
Oh, a little Anne Frank action.
Yeah, a little Anne Frankie there. But done by Taika Waititi, who's done Thor Ragnarok, What We Do in the Shadows.
Huge movie.
Yeah, very funny movies. He has a very specific sense of humor. He's one of the main creators behind Flight of the Conchords, him and Jermaine Clement.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so interesting. Now he wants to do a World War II film, Drew.
Yes.
Nothing. But maybe it's not supposed to be a comedy. Maybe he's making a drama.
With a little bit of comedy in there.
It could be.
I mean, someone's got to have a silly voice.
Comedy and drama, they're like, you know,
someone has
to
have a silly voice. It has to be a Kiwi that shows up out of nowhere and says something weird in his strange Kiwi accent.
He's like, oh, this is my friend.
Exactly.
His name's Hans. He just wants to look around, see if you have a Jewish girl hiding in your attic.
Exactly.
That's not funny. It's like, what are you doing?
People died. Tens of millions of people died.
He died. And he's like, prove it.
I didn't see it.
I was there. Were you there?
Where are the bodies headed?
Holocaust. Taika Waititi, Holocaust denied.
God damn it, Taika. Hashtag no more heroes. Speaking of heroes. So Fantastic Four, the rights for the Fantastic Four movies have been over at Fox for years.
Yep. Yeah.
Marvel, not able to use Fantastic Four in their movies.
Because of that.
Because of those rights issues. Downplayed Fantastic Four in their books and then essentially broke them up a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
The characters are still out there, but they're doing their own things. Apparently, The Thing and the Human Torch are, have their own book series. Mr. Fantastic is off doing his own thing. It's all broken up.
That's a shame, because I feel like Fantastic Four would be a huge get for them. Well, I think they could make it work.
Well, here's the thing. Disney, which owns Marvel, buying Fox. So now everything's going to be under an umbrella. The Fox deal expected to go through sometime next year, I think. That's how long it's going to take to get these this giant merger to go through. When that happens, Marvel then has their rights back to Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. So Marvel, anticipating that...
Getting ready.
They're launching a new Fantastic Four book series. So Fantastic Four is coming back. It says here it's being launched in August. By this guy, Dan Slott, who is just finishing up a 10-year run on The Amazing Spider-Man. And to illustrate, they got this lady, Sarah Pacelli, who is just finishing up Ultimate Comics, Spider-Man. So they got a couple Spider-Man people that worked on Fantastic Four. So they definitely want to give it another run. Probably anticipating getting them back in movies.
Yeah,
that's probably
good in the final phase kind of thing.
And you were talking about... Earlier, you asked about what the Avengers, it feels like they're finishing up Phase 3.
Yeah, yeah.
What are they going to do after this? The Fox deal is coming through just in time. Phase 4 could potentially feature the X-Men, Fantastic Four.
That's where Marvel does so well. They have such a depth of characters
that
DC doesn't have.
Yeah.
That they could just make movies forever.
DC, they are already going to the well, like the deep well for like new gods and all this stuff where... people don't know what any of these things are. They've already exhausted Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. What else they got? They're trying to make Green Lantern happen by 2020, 2021. But,
good luck with that.
Yeah, seriously. MoviePass, Drew, MoviePass. I'm still waiting for my card to get here because I jumped on that $7 a month deal. $7 a month. It pays for itself after one movie a month. That's ridiculous. They signed a deal with Landmark Theaters. Okay. Landmark Theaters, maybe... sixth largest movie chain, theater chain in the country, owned by Mark Cuban.
Okay.
It's Mark Cuban's theater chain, and they signed a deal with them, which means MoviePass, what they want is they want a cut of concessions from movie theaters. They don't just want to like send people to the theaters and get their information. They want the theater to kick back them some money, and I think Landmark is the biggest movie chain to actually cut a deal with them, which means, Drew, that Landmark Theaters allows e-ticketing. Which means you can use your movie pass to get your ticket ahead of time, which is the problem I'm about to have here with Regal.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go to the theater, use my movie pass to get my ticket, and then if I'm going to see a movie with Drew, then I'm going to have to like buy your ticket separately in like the seat next to mine. You know, it's going to be a real pain in the
ass. That sucks.
But $7 a month for all the movies I want to see. Come on, guys.
You can't really beat that.
You see a lot of movies.
It's kind of stupid. I already see enough movies. Now it's going to give me the extra impetus to finally go see something like Love, Simon, or to re-see Ready Player One or something like that. So they got that theater. There are 53 Landmark theaters in the country spread out across, looks like it says 27 states. So pretty decent market penetration there for MoviePass. All right, there you go. That was your movie news segment, which means it's now time to wrap this thing up with...
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the Lightning Round.
All right, here we go. Fritz, I have 10 questions.
All right, let's do it.
And then I need 10 answers right away.
Okay.
Drew, start that clock.
Nope.
Number one, have you ever shed tears out of fear?
I have not.
All right, number two, what do you do if you see a flock of seagulls?
I immediately sing that song.
Number three, what's up with girls on film?
Should they be on film?
Should they? That's interesting.
They should.
It's 2 minutes later, Chris.
That's the answer.
2 minutes later. Number four, that clock is moving fast. Number four, have you ever ran so far away?
Yes.
Number five, why does everybody want to rule the world?
It's a good place to be.
Number six, have you ever been hungry like a wolf?
I'm always hungry like a wolf.
Number seven, will you sit in the big chair?
Yeah, I love big chairs.
Number eight, how do you know when we'll get to the start of the breakdown?
When I start crying.
Number nine, have you ever been head over heels?
I have.
And finally, number 10, Tears for Fears, Flock of Seagulls, Duran Duran, who do you kick out of bed?
You know what? I gotta go with the two-name guy, Duran Duran.
Duran Duran?
I kicked them out of bed.
Sorry, Duran Duran, you guys are out of here. Fritz.
No love for Duran Duran.
We got some swaggy bags for you. All our guests go home with swag. We got the red bag. We got the blue bag. Which one do you maybe want to go home with today?
I'm going to go with the blue bag.
All right, blue bag. Here we go. All our guests get something awesome. This bag, total value of about $7. Drew, what we got?
Sir, you may get to go home with a Hot Wheels boom car. It looks... best for a track.
How did you know?
It's an HW ride-on? Wait a minute. So, I think you put a little Lego man inside this thing, and it looks like it's coming out of a rocket.
Or like a cannon.
But there's no little Lego man.
No, supply your own Lego man. So Lego man not included.
It's supply your own... Oh, wait! Hang on, boom car, especially when you're ready to launch the service, etc. Okay, so yeah, you put a little dude in there, and then you flick him out.
And you can flick him out! There you go! Awesome. All right!
That's weird. You're also could be a proud owner of some Elmer's Kitty Dough. It is not Play-Doh.
Not Play-Doh.
It is Elmer's Kitty
it's
Dough.
It's Elmer's Kitty Dough.
Can I eat it?
I
think it's not toxic. At the very least, it's not toxic.
Got some play handcuffs.
Play handcuffs, all right!
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
And a glow bounce ball. It glows.
Goddamn, yes.
And it lasts for hours.
All right. And,
alone.
And then also a bunch of
stickers will be in there. Stickers
and stuff like that as well and all that. Now, Fritz, that bag is yours. You can take it home, or we put that bag away and you never see it again. And you take what we have in the box right over here. That's right.
What's in the box?
Exactly. You know what's in the bag. You have no idea what's in the box. You can take what you know, or you can go with what you don't.
I'm going to go with the box.
All right, we're going with the box. Here's a Kyber. Go ahead.
Sorry, handcuffs.
Reach in there. Let people know what's inside.
Lewis and the Tropical Double Trouble. Peggy Webb.
All right, it's a book. It's a book. All right. What a bunch of stickers in there as well for you. So there you go, Fritz. Reading is fundamental.
It is.
You got yourself a book. It's summer. It's a summer beach read. Is what it is. What are you looking for? Here you go. Here you go. Thanks, buddy. All right, so there you go. That's it. That was it for episode 273 of Cinema Crespi. So, Fritz, thank you so much, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That was a lot of fun. I appreciate it. Drew Sagamore, thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Rate us and reviews on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you come out to the Ecce de Mayo event at the Stranded Sailor. Read more books. Be excellent to each other. Break up the big banks. And free Mumia Abu-Jamal. We are out of here.
A PFT Media production.